believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit, became a B-24 bomber pilot in World War II, was shot down over Germany, and spent 15 months as a prisoner of war. He started his broadcasting career in 1947, and he's been the king of the one-liners ever since, while telling us the weather with wit for the last 59 years. It's an honor to have a true treasure, the immortal, the incomparable Sonny Elliott as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with the master of Detroit's wit and weather, Sonny Elliott. Sonny, what an honor to have you.
Aren't you nice to say so? Thank you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Why, certainly. What would you like to know about? My childhood was a very happy one. And I had probably the best parents in the world. Hardworking, honest, with a great sense of being. They were just wonderful people. And they had wonderful children until they got to me. I was number seven in the family.
So, what did your dad do?
My father was in the... He came from Lithuania, where he was a blacksmith. And he and my mother came from a little town in Lithuania called Kovnogabenia, wherever the hell that is. And they made their way to England, to London, and from London they came to the United States in the late 1890s. And my father became, since he was a good man with ironwork, he became an expert in ironwork. By that I mean he could make fancy gates and fancy fences and things that he dealt with in iron. And then when he finally got to New York City, he got a job as I assume it was a blacksmith over there. And then when they came to Detroit, which was in about 1917 or 18, and since he was quite adept at iron work, he got a job at Studebaker, one of those automobile factories, and settled in Detroit.
Sonny, when you were in grade school, when there was no ADD and there was no ADD on steroids, what were you like?
I kind of liked it. I think I don't remember that far back. Heck, I hardly remember breakfast. But that far back, I think I was kind of a happy-go-lucky, smart-aleck kind of kid. I think, at least, I never got any real trouble, and I was always late for school. But outside of that, I did fairly well.
Let's go back. You're at Wayne State, and you start to do network radio shows, a la The Lone Ranger, The Green Hornet, The Challenge of Yukon. Talk about those days.
That was wonderful. That was after I think it was called World War II. You remember that. It was in all the papers, Jack. And one of the instructors at Wayne State was a man named Chuck Livingston. Chuck Livingston was a good director. He was a director of The Lone Ranger. And he taught radio writing and radio technique at Wayne State. And I was in one of his classes and was lucky enough to get called for one of the Lone Ranger shows. I never did get on Challenge of the Yukon, but I met all the actors who were on Challenge of the Yukon. But I was on the Lone Ranger, and that to me was, you couldn't get any better than that.
Let's go back to the day of Pearl Harbor.
Ah, yes.
And the next day you enlist in the Air Corps.
That's true. Well, I enlisted. I was lucky enough to get into the Army Air Corps. Yeah, I had won a scholarship through a competitive examination given by the government, which was called Civilian Pilot Training Program, and I had won or got good enough grades to get flying lessons. And that at what is now Metropolitan Airport used to be Wayne State, used to be Wayne County Airport. And we would go out there, and I got free flying lessons in an old Piper Cub. And it was on December 7th, 1941. I was flying in a Piper Cub when we got the words crackle over the headset, come back to base immediately. And we landed the little Piper Cub and found out that that Pearl Harbor had been bombed.
And eventually become a B-24 bomber pilot?
That's true. Of course, you don't start that way. But mm-hmm. I was an aviation cadet. And you take ground school, and they go through three phases of training in the air. At the time, it was the Army Air Corps, primary, basic, and advanced. And I did pretty well in twin-engined training, and so I was assigned to a bomber group and taught to fly the B-24, which is four-engine.
How many missions did you fly?
I made it to about 16 missions. And then had the discomfort of being unfortunate enough to run into some, as they called them, the fighter plane, the Focke-Wulf 190, the Focke-Wulf 190, the German fighter plane. And it on a head-on attack, it shot out two of my engines, and we caught fire and had to bail out.
We're talking to Sonny Elliott. When we come back, we'll ask him about his 15 months in captivity. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Sonny Elliott. Sonny, can you share with us the 15 months of being a prisoner of war in Germany?
Well, I don't want to make too much of that. There are so many people, many men, who had it 10 times worse than I had it. However, it was kind of a sobering experience and one that I would not like to go through again. It's kind of depressing to be, well, anybody who has to be lead what I call a very sheltered life is not exactly the happy place to be.
You got famous for lifting the morale of the other prisoners by staging original skits and reviews. How did that come about?
Well, they in the prison camp, we set up in the mess hall kind of a little stage, and we had to have some people who would then do something to entertain the others and relieve the monotony of prison. And that's exactly what we did. There were other fellows in the camp who were much more talented than I, and they would write skits, and I would perform them, and I would go back and remember some of the things that used to make me laugh. And we put together little shows and so on, and we put together a little group of guys, and through the cooperation of some of the German guards, they let us travel from barracks to barracks and perform. And it would raise the spirit somewhat, give somebody something to think about other than themselves. And there are many who couldn't think beyond themselves, and were very depressed in camp. And we would all, the ones that I am most grateful for is the American Red Cross, who serviced our camps, and the and some of the others who came into camp and were allowed under the agreement. And we were able to get some books and some information, and we put together little shows. And all the men were kind of appreciative. They were a captive audience, obviously. And so we enjoyed what we did, and it gave us something to think about besides yourself.
You've been blessed with a lot of gifts, Sonny Elliott. One of the biggest is humor and laughter. And in these
and
tough
also,
times,
God has given me a good health for which I am most grateful.
Yes. Talk to us about humor and laughter in tough times.
I think the only thing that can keep you going is looking at life a little less jaundiced and try to look for some of the things that are good about them. And I think that's what I look for most of the time, to see if I could bring a smile either to myself or to someone around me and not take life too seriously, because you ain't going to get out of it alive, you know.
So.
And you do the best you can. And some do add to the excitement of living by just being themselves.
What advice do you have for people to stay positive in these tough times?
Live while you live and enjoy what you've gotten, to hell with the rest of it. I guess it's a philosophy that most of us have. And if you're fortunate, as I am, to be born with the gift of laughter in the sense that the whole world was mad, I guess you can get by quite easily.
Sonny Elliott, do you ever get down?
Oh, yeah. Of course. All of us do that. But then you try whatever it is to look at it quite honestly and see where the problem is and do the best you can. And, of course, you have to be lucky. Lucky in having a wife like I have. Lucky in having parents that you have. You just have to be lucky. And, of course, you have to have friends. Without friends, there's nothing.
We've been listening to you for 60 years with your shtick.
Oh, no, you haven't. It's more like 63 years.
Seems like 80, but what keeps you going every day, Sonny Elliott?
I guess I don't know what keeps me going, but I'm glad that I'm able to keep going. And it all started quite innocently way back in 1947 when I did my very first television show. Television had just come to Detroit. It was so brand new. And I was just taken with it. It was an amazing experience. And one day when you and I have lunch, I'll explain to you the experience, which is difficult to talk to you about now.
If there's a listener tonight who says, wow, you're unbelievable, but me, I'm old, Sonny, I'm tired, I'm worthless, I want to give up, what do you say to that listener?
Forget it. Do the best you can. And just think of what you've got. I guess so. I've never stopped to really consider a philosophy that I have, but the philosophy is do what you can with what you've got and to hell with the rest of it. And that seems to be as good as I can get.
How did you ever start to do the weather, Sonny?
Well, weather was kind of natural in that in the Air Force, or at that time the Army Air Corps, we used to have instructors come in and talk about engines, talk about flight, talk about all the technical end of flying. And one of the things that you deal with every day, of course, is weather. And we had weather instructors. Someone from Baylor University used to come to the air base and talk about weather. And so I felt natural. And since I was using weather every day to fly, I felt comfortable in doing weather and still do. And, of course, had my own airplane up until about 3 or 4 years ago when I had to sell it, but used weather every day. And so it's not something that's so strange to me.
How did you ever start doing the wit and the humor, the shtick with the weather?
Well, I was working with a newscaster named Paul Williams, who was a heck of a guy over at Channel 4. And I would do the weather following the news. And one day, while doing the weather, I did it very straight, adiabatic lapse rate and relative as complete humidity and so on. And I got over and got a temperature for Las Vegas. And I said, in Las Vegas, the temperature right now is 50 degrees, which is 25 the hard way. And when I said the hard way, that's a gambler's term, meaning they got the dice rolled in their favor. And Paul Williams started to laugh over on the far side. And so I thought, well, if he laughed at that, then he'll laugh at this. And then we got a temperature from Montana. And in order to keep that going, I said, well, Montana, where men are men and women are women, and they're damn glad of that arrangement. And down in Texas, of course, men are men and smell like horses. And that all got little laughs now and then. Or Florida, where men lie on the beach about all day. And at night, they lie all night.
All right, we're still here. We're still. Where do you come up day after day with these one-liners?
That's the hard part about doing it. Once you've established what you're going to do and try to come up with what you're calling one-liners, I call them dime store philosophies, you keep your eyes and your ears open, and I read a lot, and whatever I can find that is adaptable, I will use, and think about things like saying brains are what a man looks for in a woman after he's looked at everything else, and that's true. And so I keep my ears and eyes open and try to write that which I can not find and write on my own.
Have you kept track of every one of these one-liners and you use them over and over?
I don't use them over and over if I can help it. But obviously, if you're doing several shows a day over a period of 60 years, you're going to do repeats. And some of the repeats are not very recognizable, or we do what is called switching, and you change things as much as you can and use lines that don't make any sense at all. And people enjoy that. They like they like the variety. And I, you know, saying things are cloudy with occasional, not showers, but cloudy with occasional flowers, which is a springtime line. And there are all kinds of things that I use, metaphors I look for, and similes, of course. And so many of us use metaphors so often, and similes have become kind of, I must have around, oh, I'd say 300 or 400 similes stashed away somewhere in my fat little brain or a little notebook somewhere, and we'll switch them from time to time.
When you started doing weather,
There
was no radar, no Doppler, no high-tech instruments?
No.
How did you get the weather to us? How did you know it was coming?
I had the great cooperation of the United States Weather Bureau. There was the Weather Bureau here in Detroit, and I would call them, and they would brief me as they would brief any meteorologist. And I would go to their office and look at the weather chart and do the best I could. And the United States Weather Bureau, which is now National Weather Service, were most instrumental in helping me. And that's exactly, they should get all the credit they can get. And they're pretty darn good. And as I say, my forecasts have been 99% correct about 20% of the time. So they say.
We're talking to Sonny Elliott, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Sonny Elliott. At the end of our last segment, Sonny, you talked about that you're right 99% of the time, 25% of the time.
99% correct, 20% of the time.
How many times have you been absolutely wrong about the weather?
Oh, well, you can't. Who keeps track of that? I don't know. I don't think I've ever been wrong. Famous last words.
Well, you once said, and I quote, "Free advice is worth the price."
That's right. Worth nothing.
So, how do you get the weather today, Sonny?
Oh, that comes in. Anyone who's got a computer gets as much weather as they need and more than they actually want. The problem is with weather is that too many people misunderstand what it does. And it's just an indication of what you could expect if things turn out exactly as planned. But you can't always be absolutely sure.
Sonny Elliott, you've been a tremendous student of the craft and technique of entertainment.
Yes, I have studied that and oft times do. And one of the problems I face with that is I'm continually looking at something and making a judgment call, which drives my wife crazy. She says, "Shut up and watch the show." And she makes a lot of sense.
Speaking of Annette, how did you guys meet?
What?
Speaking of Annette, how did you guys meet?
Oh, she was going with an old friend of mine. He was a pilot, too, and he was up at West Branch, Michigan, on a mission. And he flew his own airplane all the way down to Detroit and brought my wife, who was then Annette Gardner, with him. And I met them both here in Detroit and immediately was taken with my wife. You remember there is a song, I think, entitled "It Only Takes a Moment." It's from Hello, Dolly, a good song. It only takes a moment. You take one look and you know that's the person that you want to be with. And that's the way it was with my wife. When she opened the door and peeked out after I knocked at the door and I saw her, I knew it only took a moment. I knew she was the one. And it's been that way ever since.
You're a master at telling stories. I read once where Zig Ziglar never uses a story in a speech until he practices it 50 times in front of a mirror. Do you practice each story?
No, not at all. I have to have a spontaneity that communicates itself to your audience. It's got to be as though it just happened for the very first time. And if you're lucky, it'll work that way. If you're unlucky, they throw things at you.
Sonny, when you meet your maker, are you going to give him a one-liner or a story?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And what's that going to be?
There's a book full of lines that they have on headstones, and they're in a book written by a man whose name escapes me at the moment. But the title of the book, in case you want to find all those things, the title of the book is Frankly, My Dear, and it's a quote from the motion picture where Clark Gable says, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." And the title of the book is Frankly, My Dear. And in it are several lines that you can use. And I have no idea when I meet my maker, he's going to say, "Is it cool enough for you?"
So, speaking of books, you've written a book, Sonny Says, Legends, Yarns, and Downright Truths.
Yeah.
What's that book all about?
That's a book that started out with just plain old-fashioned curiosity, where so many phrases that we use every day, where do those phrases come from and how did they start? And so I started doing research on that, excuse me, and found several books that explained all these funny things that you hear and don't know where they come from, such as cool your heels, you're in the limelight. Where does an expression "you're in the limelight" come from? Who was the first person to ever say hello on the telephone? And you know, I find these things in books, and I would spend hours and hours looking them up, writing about them, and enjoyed it. And then Wayne State University was kind enough to publish the book. Prior to that, I had done a zoo show for Channel 4 and did that for 16 years and became quite adept at knowing what the animals were doing and wrote my very first book on that called Elliot's Ark and talked about animals. And next time we meet, I'll give you a copy and you can learn about the animals if you like.
If a listener wants to find those books, how can he do it?
Pardon?
If a listener wants to get a copy of those books, how can he do it?
Well, I guess that any of the bookstores would have it. I don't know about Elliot's Ark. That's out of print. But the Sonny Says is in all the bookstores, as I know. And, of course, Wayne State University Press has. I'm sure they must be stuck with several copies. I only got a small amount of royalty payment.
You've been on TV for 60 years, Sonny.
Yep.
How has it changed?
Oh, it's become more sophisticated now. The fun seems to have gone out of it. But it was an exciting experience. Anytime you're a pioneer, I consider myself a pioneer because I was on it first. But the very first show I ever did was one on Channel 4 in 1947. It was July 5th. I remember the date and I remember the time. And they had chorus girls from a club 509, and they had a master of ceremonies who was from that nightclub, and they did a variety show. And I was on a show with a fellow named George Scotty, who used to play the organ and pantomime records. And we did that on the Lafayette Street. They had the WWJ studios across the street from the Detroit News. We did that show, and that was the most exciting thing I had ever done. And I knew then that I wanted to do something. Of course, my dream at the time was to be somewhere on Broadway. That's what I wanted to do. And while I was in New York, I tried. I never quite made the grade. Just wasn't lucky or good enough.
Can you share with us what it was like to do TV 60 years ago?
That's hard to explain because it was just an exciting kind of thing. You never knew. The cameras looked like great big mobile tanks is what they looked like, with great cables running out of the camera down to a box on the floor, which was called a transformer. And you always knew when the camera was going bad because the camera operator would kick the box on the floor. And while you were talking, you'd hear clank, clank, clank as he kicked that box. And, of course, makeup was, they never knew how to put makeup on in the early days of television. And with the sensitivity of the camera, you had to put, in order to make your lips visible, you had to use black or very heavy dark color for a lipstick. And you put makeup on your face, you could put it on with a trowel. It was heavy, heavy makeup. And we never knew how to, what colors would be susceptible to change or how you would look on camera. And, of course, there was no tape, there was no film. And so I don't remember what I looked like, but I'm sure I was the wrath of God is what I must have looked like, and still do now that I think about it.
Of all the people you've seen on TV, who was the best?
Oh, well, that's too hard to say. There's so many, and the memory bank is full. I couldn't possibly answer that.
Did you ever meet Johnny Carson?
I met him once in Chicago. He was doing a roast, and we exchanged hellos, and one of the things he said, do you have any lines for me? And I gave him one of the dirtiest lines I had, and he said he has that one already, but he'll use it anyhow. I've been lucky, just plain old-fashioned lucky.
Did you ever meet Henny Youngman?
Oh, yeah, Henny Youngman was a fine guy. And I used to tell him that I used to try some of his stuff, but he had a timing when he held that violin in his hand. He had a timing that no one's ever matched in terms of one-liners. And anytime you met, he always had a pocket full of dimes, and for some reason or other, he gave you a dime every time you talked to him. And I used to see him whenever he came to town. There used to be a nightclub here in Detroit, or was Hamtramck, called the Bowery. And he always played the Bowery. He and a fellow named Buddy Lester were the big names in nightclub work here in Detroit in the 40s. And I used to go to those shows and enjoy them.
What about Jack Benny?
No, never met him. And never met any of the...
Bob Hope?
I met Bob Hope, and recently, by me, we were I was in England. It was after the, we had just finished World War II, and I was out in front of a Red Cross club waiting to go in for some reason or other, and Bob Hope was there, and he was tap dancing in the middle of the street, and the crowd was all around him, and I went up to him and said, I introduced myself, as I was a lieutenant then. I said, could I do a time step with him? And then I can do a little tap time step. And so Bob Hope and I did a time step in the middle of the street. It was on German, J-E-R-Y-N, German Street in London. And that's where I met Bob Hope and did a time step with him. And I found that was a wonderful way to introduce yourself to people. And then once in the Lindell Saloon, which was an old, a wonderful place in Detroit, a fellow named Ray Bolger came in, and I did the same thing with Ray Bolger. Would you like to do a time step with me, please, so I could say I danced with Ray Bolger? And, of course, we both laughed, and we did a time step in the Lindell Saloon. And then I filled in for Bill Kennedy once on his movie show. And Donald O'Connor was in town. And Donald O'Connor, who I consider one of the greatest talents I've ever met, asked him if he'd do a time step with me so I could say I danced with Donald O'Connor. And he said, yeah, and we both did that. So I've got quite a reputation. I was quite a dancer. All I can do is a time step, and that's it.
We're talking to Sonny Elliott, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible. on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with the master of wit and weather, Sonny Elliott. Sonny, why is it so many conversations start where the two people talk about the weather?
Well, Mark Twain answered that best of all. Everybody talks about the weather, and nobody does anything about it. You can't beat that.
There's all these adages about the full moon. Any of them true?
No. As a matter of fact, I did a lot of research on that one, especially for my book, Sonny Says. As a matter of fact, that story is in the book about how they tried to determine whether the full moon affected the people. And so far as I could determine, it does not in any way. It just happens to be that kind of folklore.
You listen to people that say there's global warming, and they're positive there's global warming. Then you listen to others that say, no, they're just as positive. Who's right?
I'm sure I can't answer that, not qualified to answer that. But I think we have to look historically at the weather and the Pleistocene era and the Ice Age and so on. And there are times when the Earth warms to a spot and becomes a tropical paradise, and it's time when it becomes the Ice Age and the whole world is frozen over. And the state of Michigan is a recipient of the Ice Age. When the Ice Age began to melt down, the Great Lakes were formed. And I think that's what we're going through again. Maybe we're going into a new Ice Age, of which I'm not qualified to either determine or to comment on.
What are you, of all the achievements, Sonny Elliott, what are you the proudest of?
The what?
What are you the proudest of?
Oh, I'm proud of the Michigan Journalism Hall of Fame electing me to the Hall of Fame. I'm proud of just being a fairly decent citizen. At least I think I am. And by the time you learn to behave, you're just too old to do anything else. And so I just go along, or as they say, go with the flow.
As we start this new year, 2009... what dreams or goals do you have for 2009?
I think staying healthy seems to be on everybody's, not only mine. Staying healthy so you can enjoy what you've got. And that's exactly it. And I guess just staying, keeping your status quo, I guess is what I'm saying.
A lot of people set goals, but it's much tougher for them to keep those goals or to change a habit. How have you tried to do those things?
I've just gone along, as I say, go with the flow. I like to keep working. I enjoy working. I enjoy the people I work with. I enjoy the work that I'm doing, which is not much work. It's more fun. And I hope that they don't catch up with me and find out what a phony I am and let it go at that. At least stay healthy and stay working. That seems to be the answer to most of it. Able to work is probably the most important thing of all.
One of the many things I admire about you, Sonny Elliott, is you seem to live each day to the fullest.
Well, I don't know about the fullest, but I'm living each day. Sometimes it's hard, but what the hey, we all got our little problems. And the true test of ability is to smile when the bills come in and be able to pay them. And keep the troubles as scarce as big pieces of pork and a can of pork and beans. You rarely find any good pieces of pork in there.
In these challenging times that we're facing,
yes,
a lot of people have doubts about the American future. Are you still high on the American dream?
I love this country. Until you lose as I did in the prisoner of war camp, and lost touch, and the flag becomes a symbol of, you can't explain it. It's an emotion that, well, it's difficult to explain an emotion, of course. But the loss of when the Germans wouldn't let us put a flag up, our flag, the loss was something that cannot be explained. I love this country, and there's none greater as far as I'm concerned. And anything I can do to keep it going, I'm going to keep going.
Oh, this winter started out very cold for us. It seems like ever since Thanksgiving.
You noticed that. Had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
When are you going to give us some warmer days, Sonny Elliott?
How about July? Would you like that?
We'll take it.
I have an in with the company that produces July weather, and we'll see that you get your share.
What's the best, how cold is it, Sonny, you've ever
colder started? Than a former wife's hello. You can't get much colder than that.
That's clean and that's cold, Sonny Elliott. So, we've got one more minute to go. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
I think the best advice you can give anyone is to be honest with whatever you're doing and be yourself. Don't try to be someone else. Just the way you are is the way people will accept you.
Sonny Elliott, you've been one of the greatest treasures we've had in this state.
You're very nice, Jack. Really, I'll pick up the tab for lunch next time, and thank you again. You're too kind.
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, indeed. I look forward to seeing you, Jack.
I'll call you soon.
Stay well.
God bless.
Bye.
Our guest next Sunday will be another phenomenal person. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week and a great 2009, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.